You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, there are new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature this year. Civic Media, along with the recombobulation area, have previewed every single race. Could Democrats flip the assembly? All of that and more in our in-depth voter guide, and you can find it at civicmedia.us. Also, subscribe to the recombobulation area. And the author of that and Civic Media's new political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here in your new time slot. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Good morning. It's been a busy week, but I'm so glad to be here to recombobulate on a Friday with you fine folks.
Well, big market law school poll came out, so let's start there. What were your takeaways from that, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, so just published today at the recombobulation area. Everybody looks at the headline when these poll results come out. Harris 52%, Trump 48%, but I always find more interesting information once you dig through the crosstabs, kind of take a look under the hood. And that's what I did at the recombobulation area. Again, just published this morning. So do go check that one out. But, you know, one of the big things that happened is in this one is not a whole lot changed from one poll to the next. I think people are pretty dug into their camps. And I think the big change in the presidential race that occurred this year already happened, going from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris. Since Kamala Harris has joined the ticket, you know, she has been in the lead for the last two polls with the same numbers, 52-48, ahead of Trump. And I think part of why she is ahead in Wisconsin is because she's been winning with independent voters. You know, obviously yesterday we saw her come to Wisconsin, speak with Liz Cheney in Ripon. And I clearly an appeal to many of those independent voters who have drifted away from the Republican Party in the Trump era. But right now, more than 60% of independent voters are backing Harris in the head-to-head matchup with Donald Trump. Now, there are fewer independent voters now than there have been in years past because of how polarized and how partisan the electorate has become. But I think that is a significant number. And is one that has reversed in a big way from when Biden was at the top of the ticket. Trump was leading with independent voters in the head-to-head versus Biden. Now with Harris, now two polls in a row now that she has right around 60% of the support from independent voters.
And as we mentioned a little bit earlier with Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters, we are seeing now more Republicans coming out and former elected Republicans coming out and putting their support behind Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. We're not seeing that happen on the other side. I'm not seeing lots of Democrats going, I've changed my mind. I'm voting for Trump, Trump Vance.
Yeah, it was really just Tulsi Gabbard. And, you know, I don't really know.
I don't know. Those billboards on the freeway say RFK Jr. endorsed. So that's got to be something. I don't know.
I don't know if that's helping or hurting at this point. But yeah, I think, you know, it's Harris is doing well with independents. And I think, you know, across the board, independents are leaning more in favor of the Democratic candidates right now. Not only was it did that show up in the head to head polling between Harris and Trump, it also really showed up in a big way in the Hovde Baldwin race as well. That one, you know, there's been kind of some rumblings that the Hovde Baldwin race is tightening a little bit. You know, the previous poll got a little bit closer. There's been some other polls from, you know, around the country taking a look at that race that showed that the race was tightening. Not really so in these latest Marquette University Law School poll results, where Baldwin is up 7. And I think the strength of that is her favorability with independents in a big way. She's a plus 23 in her favorability with independents. Hovde is having a real problem with independent voters in this particular poll. His net favorability with independent voters is minus 38.
Ooh.
With only 22% of independents viewing him favorably to 60% unfavorable. So maybe he's doing well and better with, you know, kind of the more dug in partisans in the race. But the type of crossover appeal that you kind of need to win a statewide race in Wisconsin is not really materializing for the California landowner.
I was going to say, I feel like you could have just ended your sentence at the Hovde campaign is having some trouble. Because, I mean, honestly, it's, as Pat Kreitlow calls it, professional rake stepping at every corner. Every time they try to do something, it either backfires or doesn't get the oomph they're expecting. Dan, is this going to be the last Marquette poll before the election, or will they put out one more right beforehand?
There will be one more, I believe, in the last week of October.
Okay.
There will be one more of these. So this is, you know, this is the second to last one. And on that Hovde point too, you know, Baldwin has had a lead. We know it's Wisconsin. We know these are going to be close. There's been some stories recently signaling that this is a tighter race. Mitch McConnell's super PAC just dumped $17 million into the race. There was a report last week from the Washington Post showing that the Uline family has put $20 million towards a super PAC attacking Tammy Baldwin in this race. So we know they're targeting her in a big way. But Hovde has still not led in a single Marquette University Law School poll. And I think that matters in this race. And to the extent that, you know, people talk about the polls underestimating the support for Trump in previous election, there's some truth to that. But that really hasn't been the same for a lot of the Senate races. And I talked to Charles Franklin about this when he was talking with media after the poll release and talking about, you know, yes, the presidential race has had some misses over the years, but in Senate races, there's been kind of a consistent narrative where, like, Ron Johnson's support grew in 2022 and 2016 when he won both of those times. Tammy Baldwin was significantly ahead of Leah Vukmir 6 years ago when she won that election. But this one, Hovde's, you know, his favorables have climbed a little bit since people have gotten to know him a little bit better, but he's still well behind and he still has not led in a single one of these Marquette University Law School polls.
Dan Schaefer is our guest from the Recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor, and we're talking about the latest Marquette poll that came out. I do want to remind everyone, polls don't vote. And if you like the numbers, that's great. Don't get complacent. 32 days, polls don't vote. There's still things to be done. There's a month.
Mm-hmm.
32 days. Jane, that's jarring.
I know.
I'm not, yeah.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Everyone, we get 5 minutes of nap time, then get back to it.
And I want to say, and I'm glad you mentioned the Mitch McConnell super PAC dumping that $17 million here. I've really noticed it, especially in the last 2 weeks. The television commercials, when I watch the local news, even radio commercials, and the Hovde ads are getting a lot nastier. He's gotten away from trying to be charming.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that works so well with the lake sitting axe throwing stuff. And so now he's trying a different tack. The other thing I am baffled by, and this is a kind of going off to the side here, but what has Ron Johnson brought back to Wisconsin compared to Tammy Baldwin? I don't understand what Rojo has done except make lots of appearances on his favorite place, Fox News. And he holds hearings because, I don't know, he wants everyone to have horse dewormer. That's the only takeaway I can get from that.
He's a unique case as a U.S. senator, isn't he? You know, this also kind of shows up in, I joke from time to time that when we get these new projects announced or funds coming back to Wisconsin, it's just like, thank you to Wisconsin's only senator, Tammy Baldwin.
Seriously. Yeah.
Who is stepping up. And you know what? There's actually a question in that Marquette poll that does, you know, kind of reflect the public's perception of that, too. So the poll asked how well certain phrases describe Baldwin and describe Hovde in this poll. And one of the phrases is, does blank candidate is committed to serving the interests of Wisconsin. And that's where Tammy Baldwin polls the best. 60% of voters, and look, it's 60% in Wisconsin, 60% of Wisconsin voters agreeing on something is kind of a remarkable number in this day and age. But 60% of voters saying that she is committed to serving the interests of Wisconsin. I really do think this, as much as anything, seems like Tammy Baldwin's hallmark as a senator, that constituent services, her strong connection to the state, the way she's always looking out for these, you know, projects that that local municipalities are asking about or counties are asking about, and bringing home those federal dollars to really make a difference. And I think that Wisconsin voters know that. And I wonder if that's something that that she and her campaign could really lean into in this final month here. And I think it's important to remind voters that she's a senator who's working for Wisconsin and that most of Wisconsin recognizes this.
I think, you know, that's where the ads really, I mean, will either frustrate me depending on the mood or make me laugh, because when I see an ad saying Tammy Baldwin is more Washington and Hollywood than Wisconsin, I'm like, yeah, there are some people who think that because they don't know any better and they're going to vote for Eric Hovde because he is not Tammy Baldwin. But trying to hook her up with like the coastal elites just doesn't work, because they can never show pictures of it. They showed it like she's hanging out with California liberals. It's a picture with her and Kamala Harris and like East Coast elites. And it's a picture of her and Joe Biden. This narrative they're trying to use, which they use for all the, anytime you want to slam a liberal, which is their Hollywood, just never works with her, because if she's not in DC, she's on the road here in Wisconsin talking to people and proving herself with the farmers, the law enforcement, and just the regular Wisconsinites.
That's what I was going to say, too. She's on the ground here in Wisconsin. She goes to county fairs. She goes to all kinds of events to meet constituents and listen to constituents. While Rojo, I don't know, does he even stop here anymore, or does he just fly over on his way to their place in Florida?
Yeah, he does a lot of conservative media news hits out of his Florida house and all that. But to that point on Baldwin, you know, the news this week as well, that she was endorsed by the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and yeah, was the first statewide Democrat in Wisconsin in more than 20 years to get that endorsement, just goes to the point you were making. And I think Wisconsinites know that she's working for them. To whatever extent you may disagree, you know, we have a very polarized state. There's a lot of Republicans who might disagree with the approach a Democratic senator might take. But to say that she's somehow disconnected from the state is just such a misguided attack.
Rake.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah! Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. You watched the debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance earlier in the week. And I love the title of your column in the Recombobulation Area, Dan, is called The Audacity of Ope.
That's right. That's my column on Tim Walz.
That's
the
clever.
Audacity of Ope.
It's great. It's great. So what are your takeaways from the debate?
Well, so I actually wrote this one before the debate. And it was, you know, I really think the Tim Walz appeal, you know, we've all had some fun in the last few months hearing his Culver's order, you know, hearing him talking, sing the Menards jingle, talk about gutters, do all sorts of endearing Midwestern dad stuff. But I think beyond all of that, the appeal of Tim Walz goes beyond just the fun stuff we've been seeing on the campaign trail. And I think at the heart of his rise, there is a real record of policy achievement and a real sense of urgency with that achievement at the core of his ascent. And I think that's exactly what Democrats need right now. And I think for a long time, I've said that Democrats need to do a better job of prioritizing voices away from the coasts. And I think Tim, with the selection of Tim Walz, that certainly gets to that. But I think it also is important to recognize, and Walz mentioned this several times, you know, throughout the debate, about some of the policy success that they've had in Minnesota with just a one vote legislative majority. Isn't that relevant for Wisconsin right now? but I went through the list of different things that they were able to do in 2023 at the beginning of their session there after Tim Walz was reelected, after they had elected a Democratic trifecta in their legislature there. You know, you go through the list, it's codifying abortion access, increasing public education funding by billions of dollars, enacting a new paid family and medical leave program, banning non-compete agreements, legalizing recreational marijuana, approving billions for childcare and early learning, restoring voting rights, approving billions for affordable housing, passing new gun violence prevention initiatives, adopting new education standards, putting billions into new infrastructure, moving to 100% carbon-free energy, protecting rights of people in the LGBTQ community, sending more people a targeted tax credit for families. And I think the list really goes on. And I think the, you know, the policy success that so many people have pointed to is that moment where they passed free universal school meals in Minnesota. You saw that classroom celebrating around the governor. And I think you can point to this platform as something that could be taken nationally, not only in the substance, but in the urgency of which it got done, because this all got done in basically like 3 or 4 months in Minnesota. They, you know, the newspapers there called it the most consequential legislative session in Minnesota's history.
Wow.
And I think, you know, it's Democrats so often can be so careful, can be so poll tested. They want to have the right message. We want to have, and I think Walz, in the simplicity of some of his statements, really cuts through the noise on some of that. You know, you talk about the point on the free school meals, and he said in a press conference, and he's just, you know, he's just like, it's not that complicated. Just feed our children. You know, and I think the,
such a
the
lines
that have resonated on the campaign trail when he's talking about abortion rights or things like that, just mind your own business.
If you,
I think he really is doing a terrific job of cutting through these things. And I think, you know, I think he did. There were moments of the debate where, you know, I think to, you know, kind of the Beltway media maybe looked a little bit less polished. But I think to, you know, those of us in the Midwest, I think it resonated. He felt like a normal guy saying he's kind of a knucklehead sometimes when he brings up certain things. But just look at his record. You know, J.D. Vance in that debate was talking about Donald Trump's record and just kind of pretending it was something entirely different than what it was. But look at what Tim Walz was able to accomplish in Minnesota. And again, not just the substance of it, but the urgency of it, too. And really getting so much done in that session. And I think that's the type of approach that, you know, can be brought to can and should be brought to the national stage.
If you really want a distillation of Tim Walz's energy attitude towards this topic, we played it a while ago, but his interview with Jake Tapper on CNN before he was even announced as the VP nomination or the pick for VP, which is Jake Tapper says, you know, the right's going to try to paint you as ultra liberal. And he goes, what? Because I'm trying to get free universal health care, free meals for the kids, and rattles off basically half of what you said because they had a certain amount of time. And he goes, then call me that. I don't care. It's about getting things done. And I think there is something very Midwestern about that, too. It's like, we're going to get things done. And if you try to stop us, it's not our problem. You know, it's absolutely there's a phone call right now coming in from the government. No, but like, I just loved his response. It's like, they can try. I don't care. I have kids to feed, and that's their problem. If they think that's ultra liberal.
Well, and the other thing that tells me is that they have no argument against him is before the debates, Right Side Broadcasting or one of those networks, they were going on about how Tim Walz is not enough of a man. And one guy said he's a soy boy. And it's like, really? That's what you're bringing to this? Oh, okay.
These guys are weird, Jane. These guys are weird.
It's just, that's the same network that sells an ivermectin kit, okay? So that's I'm not true. Really going to take their opinion t- too seriously. They are so obsessed with masculinity. I have to wonder, maybe you're overcompensating. I don't know.
Yeah, it raises many questions.
What, do you have straws in your kitchen?
Oh, are you using a straw?
Did you ever vote for a woman? Because that turns you into a woman, apparently.
Dan Schaefer is the author of The Recombobulation Area. I highly encourage you to subscribe and check out the impeccable and deeply researched voter guide on our website at civicmedia.us. Dan Schaefer, our political editor for Civic Media. We will see you next Friday. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks so much. Be well, folks.
News is coming up next when we return. Grifter of the Week. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Football tomorrow, 9 a.m. broadcast starts. Wisconsin hosting Purdue. You can listen on WLAK in Amory. You can listen on WRCE in Richland Center. And also on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Purdue at Wisconsin tomorrow. Our broadcast will start at 9 a.m. Coming up, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We will wrap up the show. Today's thing comes from the world of politics.
Tinfoil hat politics.
Oh, I'm telling you. But right now, something new that we're trying.
Yeah.
We're going to call this Grifter of the Week. Let's hear it for them, Calvin. Lots of choices. Lots of choices for Grifter of the Week, but this one really jumped out at me. Ryan Walters is the superintendent of schools in Oklahoma, and he has essentially said he wants the Bible to be taught in all public schools. So bids opened up on Monday in Oklahoma for a contract to supply their Department of Education with 55,000 Bibles. There are some certain specifications for the acceptable Bible, however, that Mr. Walters wants to see in Oklahoma schools, including the Bibles have to be the King James Version. They have to contain the Old and New Testaments. They must include copies of the Pledge of Allegiance, Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And it has to be bound in leather or leather-like material.
He said this?
This is in the specifications for the Bibles. If you want to supply Bibles to the Oklahoma Department of Education, it has to be King James. It has to have the Old and New Testament. Has to have the Pledge of Allegiance, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And must be bound in leather or leather-like material. Now, guess what?
I know where this is going, but I'll bite. What?
A salesperson at Mardell Christian Education searched through their inventory. They carry almost 3,000 different Bibles, none of which fit the parameters. You know which Bibles do fit perfectly?
Which one, Jane?
Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA Bible, endorsed by former President Donald Trump. They cost $60 each online. There's also Donald Trump's We the People Bible, endorsed by Donald Trump, which sells for $90, all of which Trump gets a cut of.
And let me guess, there's no discount for bulk ordering, probably?
Probably not.
Nah.
The other interesting thing was they don't actually need 55,000 Bibles because the number of school districts is smaller than that. There are only 43,000 classroom teachers in the state. And they're still asking for 55,000 Bibles.
I mean, at least they're not making every child get their own Bible. Oh, I didn't say that. You didn't hear me say that.
But it's got to be the right one,
yeah,
Greg. It's got to be the right Bible.
Now, Jane, didn't you do some deep, deep research on a place called, let me make sure I got the, it's called Amazon.com. Didn't you look up how much a Bible, just a regular Bible, would cost?
You can buy a Bible online for $2.99.
Oh, my goodness. That is far less than, say, $60 to $90.
It does seem less.
In a time when school districts are really hurting for money and they need help for their teachers, teacher pays, school, you know, supplies and things of that nature, I really feel like 55,000, you said.
55,000.
Okay,
that's a big chunk of change.
Let's do
a little mathing.
Yeah, let's do a little mathing here. 55,000 times the Lee Greenwood price. That's $3.3 million.
Nice.
Because I'm assuming that there is no discount for bulk shipping.
I would assume that.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the superintendent also gets a little beak wet there. You know, a little cut.
A little taste.
Let's $90 was the Donald Trump Bible?
$90 is
well,
the Trump Bible.
I mean, it's for style, baby.
Right.
You got to go and stuff. That's just a paltry $4.95 million in public funds paying for, say it again, Bibles.
Former Oklahoma Attorney General Drew Edmondson says the request for these proposals might violate state law. Quote, "It appears to me this bid is anything but competitive. It adds to the basic specification other requirements that have nothing to do with the text. The special binding and inclusion of government documents excludes almost all bidders. If the specs exclude most bidders unnecessarily, I would consider that a violation."
I mean, okay, I'm going to say I have a controversial take right now. I do not have a problem with a Bible being in a public school classroom. I don't have a problem with children learning about religion in a
religious class,
not a religious class, but like almost like a historic class where you introduce, because they're there. You can't get away from them. And if kids have questions about religion, you know, in a historical context, you can answer them. But $60 to $90 per Bible times 55,000 when you don't need that much. There's no way this guy isn't getting his pocket lined. There's no way this is crazy pants.
It's a grift.
It's an absolute grift.
It's a grift.
I feel like we can already arrest him for fraud or for a conspiracy to defraud the state because it just feels icky.
This should make everyone, at least in Oklahoma, sit up and go, what? Taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
Taxpayer dollars. Not even to mention the whole church and state issue. We won't even get into that.
Oh, that's just adorable,
Jane. We won't even get into that. But does this blow anyone else's mind other than mine?
Does it make you very mad? Because it makes me very mad.
It's just, folks.
Yeah.
And it's just so blatant and out there. And it's like, yeah, this is good.
Because there are no consequences for actions. And I would... And as much as I don't like rabbit holes or tinfoil hat solutions, I wouldn't be surprised if let's go down a certain pathway. Let's say he secures 55,000 Bibles. That's about $5 million. That goes directly to the company that makes them. Then I'm sure that Trump gets a cut of that.
A cut, which
and,
he does.
Which I'll bet you within 6 months to a year, all of a sudden, the Oklahoma state superintendent is up for Department of Education secretary, because we can't get rid of it completely, but let's have the right people run it.
Oh, one clarification about where the money would come from. The $3 million apparently would come from payroll savings.
What does...
Because the Oklahoma schools have realized significant personnel and administrative cost savings to be directed toward this program. At least 130 people have resigned or been fired since Mr. Walters took office in 2023.
There it is.
So people have left the Oklahoma school system because of this requirement. And that's where the savings. We have such great, because we budgeted so well. No, you lost a whole bunch of teachers.
This is like a state version of all the best people. I mean, talk about a grift. This is amazing. We are going to hear this person's name in the news again down the road, and they will be charged with a crime.
Walters announced in June a mandate that a Bible should be in every Oklahoma classroom. Even though it's unlikely he has the authority to enforce that, the Oklahoma Supreme Court has affirmed districts maintain local control over their curricula.
Cool. All right. Let's also put a Quran in there. Let's put the Talmud. Let's put the Satanic Bible, the Book of Mormon. Let's put Everybody Poops in there. Transcendental Meditation and Motorcycle Repair.
Scientology. Dianetics.
God. Get Dianetics in there.
Calvin.
Well, even just to focus on the Bible, don't skip parts of it. Read Leviticus, read Deuteronomy, read all the verses that explicitly allow slavery, explicitly endorse genocide, all these terrible things that they are either ignorant of or are explicitly ignoring for a reason.
Well, and that's what I love when anybody throws out the Leviticus thing about what man shall not lie with man, but they skip the whole you can't have tattoos, you can't eat shellfish, so no shrimp for you.
Yeah.
You can't touch pigs, goodbye football. Women aren't supposed to cut their hair. You're not supposed to wear clothing of mixed fibers. All that stuff, those apparently don't count.
Well, also, I mentioned it before, too. The original text says that man shall not lay with boy. That was warning against God's wrath about pedophilia. Not about man and man. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. Also, let's talk about Ephesians. Ladies, do you want to be subject to your husband? Because that's what Ephesians says. So let's just, you want the Bible? That's fine. You got to have all the texts then.
Yes.
All of them.
All of them.
Available to students at all times. And let's also show them some of that great, war pornography that's in there. It's very graphic and very, very violent. So let's reading time with the kids.
We're talking about the grifter of the week. Ryan Walters, who is the superintendent of schools in Oklahoma, has put in a request. He wants Bibles in every classroom, but it's got to be a certain Bible. It's got to meet these standards. Must be King James, with the Old and New Testaments and copies of the Pledge of Allegiance, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. They have to be bound in leather or leather-like material. And shockingly, the only ones that fit these parameters are Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA Bible and Trump's We the People Bible. That one sells for $90. Lee's sells for $60, and the former president gets a cut of all of it. We can slide another little quick grift in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know Earl spent a lot of time, and we have spent time this week talking about the damage from Hurricane Helene and those poor folks down there. Guess who has started a GoFundMe for the victims of Hurricane Helene?
Taylor Swift.
No, Donald Trump.
Oh, this seems like it's going to end poorly.
It's being run by someone who is working for his campaign.
Hey, isn't he not allowed to run a charity in a state?
He is not allowed to run a charity in New York after being convicted of cheating his own charity. That goes for the whole family, actually.
Yeah, can we just put charges down right away?
You shouldn't be able to do that. I'm all for people helping the victims of Helene.
Yes!
Because they have been devastated and their communities decimated. I would suggest you take your money and give it to the Red Cross or the World mm-hmm. Central Kitchen.
Yes.
Or even Samaritan's Purse.
If you want to know more information about that, Civic Media has a great resource for you on our website. You can go to civicmedia.us/help, and that will get you all the information you need.
And that has direct links to these charities. We're not saying send us the money.
Yeah.
We'll make sure it gets to where it needs to go. No, we're going to give you links to give directly to these charities.
In other news, Jane, I've started my own charity of selling Bibles to children for hurricane relief.
Have you?
Yes, I take exclusively Bitcoin.
Send it to Greg at
Bitcoin.com.
At Bitcoin.com. Grifters of the week. We right out there in broad daylight, baby.
We got to make a theme for this one.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, we're going to close out the show with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." If you ever have a thing that should not be, you can email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We would love to hear your suggestions. Today's "This Shouldn't Be a Thing" coming from the world of, I'll say, politics and science. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will have the show notes all up and ready to go when we get off the air. If you want more information about anything that we talked about, including our conversation with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, they've got a great toolkit.
Yes, they do. And that's all in the show notes. All the links, all the stories. All the people.
All the things. You can find it at civicmedia.us.
That should definitely be a thing.
It should be a thing.
Yeah.
Also, we want to congratulate Kim in Racine. Kim won the grand prize in our Go for the Greener Gold statewide text to win contest. We had a lot of fun with that. If you have not yet downloaded the Civic Media app, I encourage you to do so, because we're going to do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful and fabulous prizes.
Everyone watching on the live stream right now, all 223 of you, don't talk to us. Download the free Civic Media app, and you can listen to us wherever we are, wherever you are. Maybe you're in space.
Could be. 11:52, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
So many things that should not be a thing, including... this person. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia, put on Twitter last night, yes, they can control the weather. It's ridiculous for anyone to lie and say it can't be done. She's talking, of course, about the rabbit hole that I went down earlier this week when Hurricane Helene hit.
Yeah.
And how there are people who believe that there are people who can control the weather and send it to red areas intentionally. That's not a thing.
Can you read that again?
Marjorie Taylor Greene, yes, they can control the weather. It's ridiculous for anyone to lie and say it can't be done.
And in my head, it's just the other person saying, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. I need you to order now. Because, like, seriously, this is GOP, listen to me. GOP in Georgia, listen to me, because they listen to our show. I know it. Primary her with someone else,
please.
Like, I'm not even asking a Democrat to win that seat. That would be a difficult seat to win in that district. It's fine, but she's doing you a disservice. She is dangerous and she is
grossly uninformed.
Yeah, like I can't even call her weird, because that's adorable at this point. She is grossly misinformed. She is dangerous. She has a platform, and she's truly making Georgians look like idiots. Everything that we in the North and the coastal cities think about the South, she is the representation of that. GOP of Georgia, please primary her. Get her out of office. Let her go to OAN or Newsmax.
Oh, she'd be her boyfriend works for one of those.
Yeah, exactly. They'd
be perfect for each other.
I mean, this is weird.
This is the same woman who, of course, said that there were Jewish space lasers.
Yeah.
This is the same woman who said global warming is actually healthy for humans. The earth warming is actually healthy. Another really smart thing from Marge.
Coming from not a doctor, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. The earth warming and carbon is actually good for us. Yes, they can control the weather. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
And say it can't be done. Come on, Georgia.
You're better.
You can do better than this.
And like we said, we're not asking for a Democrat to win. We're asking
just someone who believes in science.
Yeah, basic science, too. I'm not even asking for a climatologist. I'm just saying, like, hey, you know, global warming, it's not the best thing in the world, but, you know, whatever, like, more than this. And who, by the way, who's controlling the weather?
Who's the they?
Is it the Weather Channel? Is it NOAA? Is it Brittany Merlot? Maybe Brittany Merlot. Calvin, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, who is the they? Because conspiracies to me are the government doing something. She's an elected official, therefore part of the government. So she is part of the they. If this is happening, show us, tell us, give us the sources.
Show us the money.
Andrew from Maine texting in, why did they allow hurricanes to hit red states when Trump was in office? Oh, Andrew, details, details, details.
Did you know that when Hurricane Helene hit Georgia, it didn't hit Atlanta because it's so Democratic and so blue. Just like a weird little shield of liberalism.
Uh-huh.
That no rain, not even the thunderclap.
And Asheville, South Carolina?
Totally. Protected.
No, it was just, it's been destroyed.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
And that's a very liberal, very liberal town.
And you're an idiot if you think that. Sorry to be so blunt, but you're an idiot if you think this is the case.
That is today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Send in your things that should not be to janesays@civicmedia.us. janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have a chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Noon to 2, Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, and Dom Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m. Peach Wabba then with Nightlight, so stick around all day long, all day, every day. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.